Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing, testing. Hey, boss, you know what, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
I'm back. You know, this is one of those days that you mark on your calendar. At least for me it is. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. I'm sitting at one of the best vistas in the city, if you will. The Allstate Chicago, or the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, WGN Studios. Looking out at beautiful Michigan Avenue on a beautiful summer day. On the radio, which is the place I love to be most, and the second or third, I don't know, depending, place I like to be most, is a Bruce Springsteen concert. And I will be at one of those in about 12 hours from now. My hair will be standing on end because I will be blown away by the boss, whatever he's doing. Bruce Springsteen is in town today. Sunday, August 28th, as the second U.S. leg of his River Tour comes back to Chicago. He was here in January, and he is back tonight at the UC, and I can't wait to see what Bruce has in store for me and about 20,000 other diehard fans, and looking forward to that show. And so today, our show will certainly be a little boss-centric, if you will, because, I have been to 61. Oh, no, I've been to 60. I will be... Tonight will be number 61 for me. And, of course, I've been to 164 Elton John concerts, thus the name Elton Jim. But, I'm a big Bruce fan as well. A lot of people think it's kind of a strange dichotomy. How could you be a Bruce Springsteen fan and an Elton John fan? Well, you know, hey, I'm an enigma. What
but
can I
why
say?
Why not?
Of course not. It's music.
Why not? And are we now going to have to call you Elton?
Elton Bruce.
Or Elton Boss Jim Toronto? Is that what it is?
Exactly. There's Dave Schwann. It's good to be talking to you again,
good
Mr. Schwann.
You are psyched up.
I'm very psyched. I also love to be in this time slot. Dean, you know, is obviously Silver Star and Walk of Fame. He's a legend, and he allows me to take care of this his sacred 4 hours every Sunday. So I take that as a very important responsibility. And it's a great time to do radio. He's got a great audience, and look who's on the phone. Hello, Uncle Dean. Is Uncle Dean there?
I just thought I would scare you for a second.
Well, you did. And that's why he's a legend, ladies and gentlemen.
I know that good feeling when you go, you know, you introduce a guest and then nothing happens.
Boy, you're starting right out. You know,
I just thought I would enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I hope you did.
Here's how I'm going to start out. I've been on WGNRadio.com for like the last 10 minutes or so watching the end of Rick's show.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can watch what's going on in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Oh, even during downtime?
Yeah, even during downtime. You see everything that's going on in there. So
I better not scratch.
Yeah, careful what you're scratching. But it's wow. I'm going to be completely more conscious of what I'm doing in the studio.
Oh, is that true?
You have got some weird tics, my friend.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to. Oh wow, that's. I mean, see, I always thought radio was an audio medium. I'm not used to this.
Put your shirt back on, Jim.
I mean, I have to put my pants back up.
And pants.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, you try. You know, I'm multi-platform, Dean.
Yeah, well, I can see that by looking at all these angles that I'm watching you on.
Why? Where are these cameras that I don't know about?
There's one that's shooting you from behind you.
Oh.
There's one that's shooting you a side view.
Ah.
There's one that's shooting like from where the guests sit right across from you.
Wow. My goodness.
So I've got like three different angles on you.
There's not this much surveillance at the World Trade Center.
There's one. There's one on Shawnee. I can say hi, Shawnee.
There's hey, Dane. Good morning.
There's one on Sam. I can see Sam.
Oh my gosh! How many little screens are there in this screen?
Seven.
Well, there's three big screens that are focused completely on you and your bizarre twit.
Well, let's get right to the point here. Then, what are the ticks?
You never stop moving.
Well, okay, I'm an energy. Hey, the name isn't inertia, Jim.
You're jiggling around in the chair like you have not ants in your pants, like you have wasps in your pants.
I'm very excited to be here. Did you see me?
You move around. You move the microphone. You can't pick up a pen. You put the pen down. You move your hat.
I know.
Touch your hat. You don't. You move the paper. It's just, I probably do the same thing. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, I know from now on what I'm going to be. Instead of watching Meet the Press on Sunday at 9, I know where I'm going to be next Sunday at my computer screen.
WTAPRadio.com.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching Dean.
I'm telling you, I'm sure I'm even more bizarre.
I'm glad I could entertain you.
But I will say, Shawnee's Shawnee's sitting there, calm.
Well, he's a rock.
Sam is sitting there, cool and calm. And you are like, you just had five cases of Red Bull.
And I don't drink coffee. I don't drink any of those energy drinks. I don't do that 5-minute energy burster, whatever the heck.
Five minute,
whatever it is.
I just learned, I was speaking to a doctor the other day, and the doctor told me that 5-hour energy drink is like one of the worst things that you can have. It's extremely unhealthy.
I'm sure it is. I know this is pure
basis.
Natural Toronto adrenaline. That is driving me today. Now, did you also see?
Watching Cirque du Soleil.
Well, I am installing a ring at the top where I would be hanging for the last half hour of the show.
Apparently.
Yeah. Now, did you see my little display that I put up too? Can you see that?
I do not see any displays.
Oh, because there's a big obtrusive box that has all these little buttons right by the window. And so I brought, tonight is my 61st Bruce Springsteen concert in honor of that and
really? Oh, really? You've only mentioned that about 12 times so far. I didn't know that.
Well, I brought the boots that I will be wearing tonight.
You brought your shoes that you're wearing tonight.
My Bruce Springsteen biker buckled boots, and I brought one in case people want to walk by and see it.
Want to see shoes.
Yeah. In fact, our engineer, Bob Ferguson, said it looks like a JCPenney showroom in here.
Well, I do not see your shoe display, no.
Okay, so can you see me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, see, do you see it now? I'm holding it up next to.
Yeah. Oh, I do see it.
Yeah, see that? Yeah, this has been to 60 shows all around the country and the world. These boots.
That's got to be really impressive for somebody visiting Chicago and walking by the window.
Well, you know, there's the Wendella boat rides, there's the architectural tour, and there's the Elton Jim boot.
And seeing somebody's dirty old boot sitting on a counter.
And I tell you, it really smells good, too.
I'll bet you the other hosts that are going to come in after you really appreciate you putting a dirty old boot up on the counter.
Hey, for 4 hours, this is my domain.
Oh, that Frank Fontana is one lucky guy.
Where are you right now, Mr. Uncle Dean?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Nice.
At the moment.
Where? What hotel are you staying at?
That would be private information that you
really?
Need to know.
Why aren't you leaving?
No, I'm still going to be here for a day. But
oh, you are? Oh, nice. Very.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm going to be here for a while because we've been doing some interviews the last few days. Yesterday, I interviewed Oliver Stone and Joseph Gordon-Levitt
The
cast of the new movie Snowden, the movie about Edward Snowden.
Oh, wow!
And day before that, Morris Chestnut and Regina Hall, they have a new movie today. I'm going to interview Andy Samberg and Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, wow.
Their voices in a new animated movie. Last night, you would have appreciated this. Last night, we saw this new animated movie called Storks.
I heard about that, yeah.
Kids movie. You know how much I love the kids.
Yeah, you love the kids. Uncle Dean.
I love the kids' movies.
Yeah, you're like you're worse than Krusty the Clown.
So anyway, we saw this movie last night on the Warner Brothers lot.
Oh, cool.
Which is super cool. We were there in the evening, so there weren't a lot of people around. And we had to wait a little while, so we're just able to, walk around this legendary, historic studio lot in Burbank, California.
If the walls could talk, huh?
Yeah, well, on each of the studios where they do the filming, they have plaques outside of them on the sound stages saying what was filmed or taped there. And, some of them go back to like 1927, 1934. So I was walking by, some of the most historic movies ever made were made on that lot. Some of the most historic television shows ever were made on that lot. They have the Back to the Future clock tower is still there. Where shot the Batman sequence, the City Hall in the Dark Knight film was shot there. They have a Chicago street where they used to shoot ER, and they still have an L that kind of cuts through this area. You step into this area and there's like a little diner, a fake diner.
Oh, that's cool.
Very all Chicago.
Yeah, that's
sitting right there. It's pretty cool.
That's a rare experience.
It's cool. It's really cool. If anyone's ever in the Los Angeles area, it's worth going on these studio tours. Yeah. You can take tours of both Warner Brothers and Universal Studios, and they tram you around and take you and show you historic places. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very good. Well, as Dean has done,
and as entertaining as watching you on WTNRadio.com.
As Dean has done a few times when I filled in for him, he likes to do this. First of all, his first prank, of course, was not immediately addressing me when I introduced him, just to scare the hell out of me. Like, okay, what button?
Laugh riot.
What button didn't? Yeah, well, that's a perennial. Yeah, that's a perennial. That's like the fake vomit.
That's an evergreen.
Yeah, that's evergreen. That's like the fake vomit. That's like the hand buzzer. But then what he likes to do is get me off schedule right off the bat of the show. He likes to blow the whole clock out here. I've got other things. I've got breaks. I've got a producer here who's looking at me. She's already shooting me daggers. And so you've once again you have accomplished what you have set out to do.
So what do you say? I've overstayed my welcome.
No, I would love it. If you can stay on. That's great. But I need to take a break real quick, if that's okay.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Oh, hey. On an email, I asked you to bring your A game, and you said I usually bring a C.
I believe I said D.
Oh, D? Okay. So I'm just wondering, on a Dean's list, what do you give your appearance right now? What Dean list what?
I'm going to say like maybe C minus.
Oh, jeez. So what do you want to do? Do you want to hang? Do you want to? Are you in L.A. with with a couple of peach coolies or what? What are you doing?
So weird.
Hey, is it wrong for a guy to be in a hotel in L.A. with a couple of peach coolies? I don't think so.
All by himself. I don't think so. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I can hang on if you want to.
Why don't you hang on? Because we're going to now I would have to probably call Andy Mazur and push him back a little, and then call Mike Hammernick and push him back a little.
Well, Mike Hammernick's not till 10 o'clock.
Well, no, I had him earlier because I've got a guest on at 10, so I had him a little earlier.
You moved the all-important weather segment?
Well, I had to. I had a guest who could only come on at this time.
Well, okay.
But we are going to do one of your interviews later in the show at 11:30, your A-list with John Krasinski from The Office, who's got a new movie out called The Hollers.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, why don't you hold on? Because
it's entirely up to you.
Hold on, because I don't want to give Andy the short shrift here. So we'll do a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with Uncle Dean. He always wants to check up on me when like a babysitter. I will not order a pizza, and I will not use the phone.
Do you have both boots up on there now?
No, just one boot.
Okay, okay.
No, two boots would be two boots would be excessive.
I have another Red Bull.
Okay, we're going to be right back here with more of this craziness. No switching. And nothing beats Dean Richards, who is on the line from Los Angeles. We're going to give a quick little say goodbye to Dino, but I appreciate you taking time from all of your gallivanting to join us here.
I have a sports-related story. Are you blowing me off now? Because, oh, wait, well, you have to go to a break, don't you?
Do I have to go to break again? Oh, my goodness, I do. I just have to say goodbye to you. Is that okay? I'm sorry to make you wait for nothing.
Are you about to talk to Andy Mazur?
You know what, Andy, we're still finding if Andy, we don't know if we have Andy Mazur's phone number. I just found that out.
Wow.
So things are, once again, a well-oiled machine here.
You are really holding the show together.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, yeah, this is even Band-Aids holding this thing together.
Well, I have Andy Mazur's phone number, if you'd like. I can give it to you now if you want. And then people
and everybody can call Andy.
Yeah, people can call at home and ask whatever sports questions they want at his house. Or I can give it to the producer.
You might want to do that. You can give that to Lise. She may be
privately, but if you do wind up talking to him, and I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen.
Maybe not.
But the Cubs have been here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing the Dodgers and
the Dodgers.
I guess it was Joe Maddon went up to the press box and said farewell to Vin Scully, who's wrapping up his season.
Right.
Also, there are some great pictures that I put on my Facebook page. I wasn't there, but I got them from Bob Newhart's Twitter page. Bob Newhart is super active on social media of Bob Newhart, Jeff Garland, Jeremy Piven, Tom Dreesen, Joe Mantegna, Bonnie Hunt. There's a whole slew of Chicagoans that were hanging out at the Cubs game that visited, were hanging out with Bob Newhart.
Does Bob Newhart stammer on Facebook as well?
He does. There's a lot of dot.
Yeah, a lot of ellipses.
A lot of ellipses going on. That's exactly right.
Well, Uncle Dean, I promise I will take care of your audience and your sacred 4 hours here every Sunday, and I appreciate you giving me the keys at the store. But as we also know, the inmates are running the asylum. And we just found out now that we do have Andy Mazur's number, and so hopefully we will be talking to Andy.
Oh, look at that.
See, so now all of a sudden the ship has righted its course.
I'm happy I could contribute to that.
Well, thank you once again for throwing me way off schedule. I had a very tight script here.
I'm trying to get you late for the news also. I know you have one more break.
I know. That's what you're doing.
I'm trying to get you super late for the news.
You have achieved that. Hopefully we talk
again. Another prank that I like to play on hosts when they fill in.
Oh, but, you're such a knucklehead.
Have a great time. I have I have to get to some interviews. But I'm going to watch the WGNRadio.com because you are so far among the more entertaining programs that I've seen that I've been watching right now.
I'm going viral.
Okay, so it's about 9:31.
Yeah, you've done it.
We have maybe 2-3 minutes of commercial still to go.
Thank you.
Swanee, we should get to you about 9:45 for the 9:32.
I am sitting here patiently.
Oh, man, I'm getting daggers from people on the street are giving me daggers. How come the news is so late?
All right, that's all I have. I've done my work here.
Oh, is that all you got? You sure you don't have any more? Isn't there just in one more thing? Don't you have at least one more of those?
I have nothing else.
The cupboard is bare. Well, enjoy your peach coolies, and we hope to talk to you soon. Thanks again.
All right, jiggle around in your chair a little more. It's so entertaining. See you later.
All right, that's Uncle Dean. We'll be right back after this.
There it is. There it is. Talk about a well-oiled machine.
So who lives in Freehold?
Freehold, first of all, I have to tell you that the history of Freehold goes back almost 300 years.
I did not know that.
When it was settled in 1714 and it became a township in 1715 when they established it as a county seat. But for our purposes today, we talk about Freehold as being the childhood home of the person you're going to see in concert tonight, Bruce Springsteen.
That is correct. Wait, nice tie in there, Swanee.
I think you helped set this up.
Well, you know, sometimes, in fact, you know, I see Dave in the hallway before, and I had asked him to do the far flung about Freehold, since that is Bruce's hometown. And so Shawnee says, well, you know, I was doing some research, and it turns out that it's Long Branch.
Actually, the birthplace.
Yeah.
You're right. Freehold is where he grew up.
But that's what he considers his hometown.
His hometown.
And so I'm like, you know, Shawnee.
He must have moved there when he was a little boy.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, okay, Shawnee, I've been to 61 concerts. Don't tell me where Bruce Springsteen is from. Just follow directions. I got some problems with you people. No, but that's great. So I've been to Freehold.
Have you?
Yeah. In fact, in a weird twist of fate, my wife, who was born and raised here in Chicago, but when she was early as a little baby, her parents, they moved to New Jersey, and she lived in Freehold.
Is that right? Wow.
And then they moved back here, but she actually lived in Freehold, and then I wind up marrying somebody who was from Freehold, and I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan. How crazy is that?
How many degrees of separation do we have?
Yeah. So she's a quasi-Jersey girl.
Yeah, right.
But, I've been to Freehold. I've been to, done a little tour, seen where Bruce lived, a couple of the homes that he had there, and then, of course, went to Asbury Park.
Asbury Park, right.
And went on the boardwalk and saw Madame Marie, which is referenced in one of his songs. Mm-hmm. It's a small little town.
Yeah.
Very working class town, and obviously it makes sense given Bruce Springsteen's image.
He went to Freehold High School, nickname game, the Freehold what?
Oh, wow. Good question.
What do you got?
Trojans, I don't know.
good guess. It begins with a C. Think East Coast, Shawnee. Think Revolutionary War.
I am.
Oh, the
Freehold.
The Freehold. Colonels.
That's it. You had it.
The Colonels?
Home of the Colonials.
The Colonials. Wow, nice.
The Colonials.
Jeez.
Go you Colonials.
Go you Colonials. Well, Colonial
power.
You know,
you're right on the money, because what I'm looking at here, it says in the 1770s, the Sons of Liberty were actively recruiting local members in Freehold.
Wow.
So there you go. By the way, it is sunny and 73 in Freehold.
In Freehold right now?
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Bruce doesn't live in Freehold anymore.
Not anymore.
He certainly still lives in New Jersey, though. He did for a while go out to the West Coast, but he has become back to his home state. And
calling him home.
But he's going to be, I don't know if he's here in Chicago yet or he's en route. He might just be flying in. And the second leg of this tour.
You don't have his cell phone number?
No. All I have is my boot.
Oh, you're wow.
The boot that I've worn to all 61 concerts. That's all I have. But, like I said, so who knows? But he did two shows already on this second leg of his U.S. tour, which just started on Tuesday, in New Jersey at the MetLife Center, where the football is played now. And the shows are 4 hours with no intermission.
Well, that's...
Four hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, the last time he played Chicago in January, he did 3 hours and 20 minutes, and that seemed like a marathon. But at age 66, almost 67 next month, he's proving it all night. There's no doubt about that. And as I said, if you are a Bruce Springsteen fan, it's not just going to be all Bruce stuff today. We've got but some Bruce-centric stuff just to welcome him back to Chicago. Well, later on in the show, as I said before, we will have an interview that Dean did with John Krasinski. We'll also do a segment I like to call the Millennial Meter. I try to test my cool factor based on my 30-year-old godson. I throw stuff at him and say, hey, is this still cool what I'm doing? And he lets me know just how out of it I am. And then we're going to have a little food segment about a restaurant that is close to the United Center in case you want to stop by there before the concert today. But we will be having, if you are a Bruce Springsteen fan, you want to stick around at 10 o'clock and at 11 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we will have an interview with, a live interview, with Dave Marsh, who is probably the most preeminent Bruce Springsteen biographer. And not only is he a fan, and a music critic and an author, and has written several books on Bruce, but he is now also in the inner circle. He's actually married to Bruce's co-manager, so he's really in the inner circle. So we'll talk to Dave Marsh, and we'll also talk to Christopher Phillips, who is the editor of a great Bruce fan magazine, as well as website called Backstreets and Backstreets.com. So some Bruce-centric today's offering your nice tall glass of chilled Bruce juice today. And anything else about Freehold?
No, that's about it. As I say, 300 years old already now. Last year would have been its 300th anniversary.
Very good.
It's been around for a while. How American can you get? And Bruce Springsteen, the boss, being from there.
Very cool. Well, thank you for that, Schwani.
You bet. You bet. You can get Chicago News first, by the way, Elton Jim, Boss Torino, at the top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And we'll just keep the frivolity going here. Is Andy Mazur there? How you doing, Andy?
Good. What's happening?
Not too much. I know you always talk to Dean every week, so I wanted to make sure that we gave the regular Dean listeners their some of their Dean fill and some of their actual things that they're used to on the Dean Richard Show. I am filling in for Dean until 1 o'clock today. So I just wanted to talk a little sports with you. You got any overnight results?
Well, I mean, you look at what the Cubs and the White Sox did yesterday, and White Sox a winner at home yesterday, 9-3 over the Mariners, and good to see Jose Abreu finally coming to play a little bit here lately.
Yeah, well, now that the season's over.
Yeah, exactly. But good to see, obviously, for Sox fans that they're playing some better baseball, and that Abreu is now with a 10-game hitting streak and a home run in last night's game, 1-4. To leave the yard for the White Sox yesterday. And then it was a rather interesting Cubs-Dodgers game yesterday. You know, I give Joe Maddon a lot of credit. Joe kind of sticks to his guns, and we're kind of talking about Jason Hamill's early exit from that game in the third inning. And if you could read lips.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
When Hamill was being taken out, he kind of saw Maddon coming out of the dugout and said, really?
Yeah.
And was not happy. But, you know, Joe Maddon has got to put, 24 other guys in mind as well. And just didn't seem to think that Hamill had what it took to get through the rest of the game. And the bullpen certainly took over and did a nice job. But you got to give a lot of credit to the Dodgers pitching staff yesterday for holding the potent Cubs offense a little at bay in a 3-2 loss.
And at this point, considering that Joe Maddon up to this point has won almost 180 games for the Cubs in two seasons. I think we should go with him. We'll go with his we'll go with his instincts rather than a player's who doesn't want to leave the game.
Well, absolutely, but you know, I think you have to understand too where Hamill's coming from. This guy's a competitor, and
oh sure,
guys never want to come out of the game. I thought his comments after the game were pretty good though. I mean, he said, "Hey, listen, you know, I didn't really think I should get an early hook like that, but hey, you know, the bullpen did a great job." So, I mean, at least he's understanding of what the concept is here. And this is why there's a little bit of a waiting period before the media is able to get into a clubhouse after a game. But, you know, he had some chance to kind of cool off a little bit and understand what the situation was.
And you want a pitcher that's a competitor. You don't want a guy that wants to come out in the second inning.
Absolutely. And you'd be upset if he wasn't upset.
Exactly.
About being pulled from a game.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, here's something I do want to talk to you about in a little bit while we have a little time here. So could there be any worse marketing and public relations decision in the history of Chicago sports than renaming what it should be called is Comiskey Park, let's be honest, guaranteed rate and no mortgage? I mean, guaranteed rate field. What are they thinking?
Well, you know, sometimes the dollar signs, and you try to sell it to your fan base is the fact that, you know, you're getting money for a naming rights that you're going to put back onto the field itself and into players. And you have to understand, obviously, with escalating salaries in the big leagues, the way that things are going right now, I mean, it's you're light hitting shortstop.
I understand the need for extra money and naming. All I have to say
I get your point. You know, why you go with that one instead of maybe some other ones that are out there?
You already have a team that has an image problem already in this town, even though it's won a World Series. It still has an image problem and a marketing problem, and now especially with the Cubs doing so well. And so, you know, I understand Jerry Reinsdorf made his money in real estate. So Jerry Reinsdorf, in his mind, a mortgage company is like the cool, it's like a Billy Deck restaurant, okay? He loves mortgage companies. They're cool. for the majority of people, we don't like mortgage companies. So right off the bat, you're naming your field against something that we don't like to get our mortgage payment every month. So, and then you get a name. I wouldn't mind if it was called, you know, Hip Hip Hooray Mortgage or something. But guaranteed rate, it, I don't know. Is it me? Is it not just flowing off the tongue?
Well, it doesn't flow off the tongue. And it was interesting, too, that after the announcement was made that a couple of other notable Chicago sports franchises.
Yeah.
A little bit on Twitter.
How about that? Yeah. Both the Bears and the
Bears. The Bears tweeted a picture of Soldier Field and said breaking. Still named Soldier Field.
Yeah. The Bears and the Cubs. That was interesting.
But I wonder if a team that played as great as it did yesterday on the field should even be bragging about the fact that their stadium is still named Soldier Field.
I'll tell you, I just think that the White Sox, you know, they came out of the box on the defense with that name. Instead of having a great announcement, this should actually be a cool thing. We're renaming the park and be all excited. They are right away off, you know, on defense, defending it, trying to positively spin it. And then the cherry on the sundae was the owner of Guaranteed Rate, the company, comes out and throws one of the worst first pitches I've ever seen. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God. It was over. It was worse than any pitch in Williamsport this weekend. It was over the catcher's head. He was jumping. So I'm like, okay.
I mean, that's the worst thing, to bounce it.
Oh, no. Well, but this was, no. It's either bouncing it or throwing it into section 14A, which is where he did.
Well, maybe he knew somebody there. They wanted to get a souvenir.
Yeah, and you know what? The Bears, you know, you talk about the Bears. All I have to say is Bear fans, I love Bear fans. I love their loyalty. I know it's in their blood. I know they love the tailgating. I know they love it all. But Bear fans, the only way that team is ever going to get better is you have to stay away. That's why the Cubs got better. Because if you remember, before Theo came in, suddenly there were empty seats in Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Ricketts said, you mean I just bought this franchise and it doesn't print money automatically? And that's when he blew the whole thing up, and that's when he went out of the organization. He got the best available and he supported him, and look at where they are now. And you see the same thing happen with the Blackhawks. Rocky took over, found a great manager, great president, and said, I just do what you do and I support you. Bear fans, you have to stay away. They have to feel the pain. You can't get excited. I guess I'm watching the end of the game. It's 23-0 with 2 minutes left. They scored a touchdown, and the Bear fans acted like they were in the Super Bowl. You're getting killed. This is a third string touchdown. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I guess my point is this. You know, if you, the previous leagues you mentioned, you know, the MLB and NHL, it's a little easier to break it down and build it back up. It's a little tougher to do in the NFL, especially with the way the windows are for coaches and the windows are for GMs and the salary cap and those kind of things. It's a little tougher to do. But I think what the problem is now, and I give GM Ryan Pace a little credit for getting rid of some of the guys that were a little less than desirable in the locker room, to draft guys that could make impact on defense, which is what the Bears are really known for in their history, is the ferocious defense and also running the football.
There just needs to be more of a sense. I don't get a sense of urgency at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I mean, that's a fair point to bring that up. I think right now, You're looking at an offense that, to put it bluntly, yesterday was awful.
Oh.
It was just there was nothing to cheer about.
That's what I mean. This is your first string guy, and this is your quarterback for the last 7 or 8 years.
And he was making some bad throws. I mean, there were some guys that were open, and again, you don't know if it's a situation again going from the Adam Gase offense to the Dowell Loggins offense. It was supposed to be very similar in many respects, because Loggins was Jay Cutler's quarterback coach last year. Don't know about that, and it's hard to figure out exactly when you're watching a preseason football game who exactly is at fault. Are these wrong routes? Are they bad throws? It's tougher to tell, I think, in the NFL than it is
if you're watching a spring training baseball game or an exhibition hockey game, you know, whose fault it actually is at that point. But there was really not a lot to cheer about. You know, and unfortunately, the only guy that was moving the offense was Connor Shaw, the spring quarterback, and he suffered an awful leg injury.
Oh, I felt so sorry for him. The guy was all excited. He threw a touchdown pass. He was fisting. He would throw this fist in the air. He was all psyched up, and then the next series, he's out on a stretcher.
It's the cruelties of professional sports and also the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so it was ugly, and there was really not much to be excited about. And, you know, the third preseason game in the National Football League is supposed to be your dress rehearsal for the season.
That
was dress rehearsal. I'm missing the play.
I want my tickets back. I'm going to the will call and saying keep them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the one more preseason game against the Browns coming up this week, and then you know, we'll be hearing about some cuts you know, during this week, and they'll get down to the mandatory roster spots. And you know, there's some guys on the defense that I liked watching a little bit yesterday, and there was nothing at all to write home about.
No.
It was just terrible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have the Cubs, and we're going to be definitely going to the playoffs and hopefully farther. Thank you so much for taking time on a Sunday, Andy.
You got it, Jim. Take care.
All right, take care. That's Andy Mazur here at WGN. I am Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at WGN AM 720. We'll be back right after this.
2, 3, 4.
Maybe you'll be out there in a bus on a train traveling along, and there'll be a motel room and a radio be playing, and you'll hear me sing this song. Well, if you do, you know I'm thinking of you and all the miles in between, and I'm not calling one last time, but just to say goodbye, to say, hey, I miss you, baby. Good luck. Goodbye. Bobby Jean. Elton Jim, Toronto here at WGN. I'm pretty psyched. In about 6 or 7 hours, 8 hours or so, going to be seeing Bruce Springsteen at the United Center. I got a few texts here today. No, that's not all we're going to talk about today on the show is Bruce Springsteen. I'm just, what can I say? I mean, this is a big deal. Seeing Bruce is a big deal, and I know there's a lot of people out there. There's going to be at least 22,000 or so people listening, hopefully, to this show that are also going to be going to that. So we should cater to them, but I know there's a lot more out there. And as I said before, we'll be talking about other stuff a little later in the show. We will be playing an interview that Dean did with the actor John Krasinski. And you know him from The Office and a lot of other movies these days. He's actually obviously married to Emily Blunt. And he's one of the – Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are one of the hip couples, you know, the Hollywood hip couples. But apparently this movie is called The Hollars, H-O-L-L-A-R-S. That's the name of the family. And John Krasinski actually directed the movie. And it was a big hit at Sundance, and it's coming out this weekend, you know, this coming weekend. Or I don't know if it came out this Friday or not. I'm not sure what the date on that was. But so Dean did speak to him. So we'll play one of Dean's A-list interviews, as he does every week, at 11:30. So there will be that. I tried to call Mike Hamernick back. I do apologize to Mike. We did want to do the segment with him on the weather, as Dean usually does. And of course, Dean, you know, if anybody's to blame, don't blame me. You ever watch those cooking shows, Chopped, when the time is up and they throw their hands up? That's what I'm doing right now. Don't blame me. Blame Dean, because Dean threw me off schedule at the beginning of the show. And so he did that on purpose. He likes to be. He's a prankster. Yes, I know. He's a Hall of Famer, Walk of Famer, Silver Star, you name it. He is it. And so he likes to play around, and he threw me off schedule, and then I had to push Andy Mazur, who always does a regular segment with Dean, as well as does Mike. And then I had a guest planned for 10 o'clock, Dave Marsh, who's a noted Bruce Springsteen biographer, and I was really looking forward to talk to him, and Dave never called in, and he never gave me his phone number, so we tried to email him, so I don't know what happened. But if you like, I could read you the questions I was going to ask Dave Marsh.
You should interview yourself.
Yeah, so Dave.
As Dave Marsh. You could, if anybody can pull that off, it's you.
So, Dave, when was the first time that you saw Bruce Springsteen, and what was it about him that captivated you then, and what keeps you captivated now? Now, how's that for a question?
You have to answer it now as Dave.
Well, you know, Jim, it's in...
Change your voice.
Yeah, you know what?
He's a cigarette smoker.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he is. And I could probably do his voice, too, if I heard it. I need to hear it. I haven't heard it in a while. But that was going to be a good question. Let me see here. Let me go through all my papers. That was a good question. I really enjoyed your two books. You know, in fact, here's the reason why. I mean, once again, Dave Marsh, I'll tell you about him if we can't get him, obviously. But what's great about Dave Marsh is that his first book about Bruce came out in 1979. It was called Born to Run, The Bruce Springsteen Story. And it was really one of the first books written about Bruce from an insider kind of perspective. And I still have that copy of that. And it was kind of like the Bible to me because there wasn't a lot of background information. And so what I wanted to talk to Dave about was about that book. And when I first graduated from college, I was writing for a music column for a newspaper, and I interviewed Dave Marsh about his new book at that time, which came out in like 1987, called Glory Days. And the reason why I was looking forward to this is because he said during our interview, it was a tape recorded, it wasn't on the radio, it was where I was recording him for a newspaper article I was writing. But he said, you know, I've done a lot of these promotional interviews for this book, but I have to tell you that this is the most fun I've had on any of those interviews. And I've always remembered that. And so I was really looking forward to, you know, to talking to him again because that really meant a lot to me. And so I'm a little disappointed. But throughout the show, I could find more Dave Marsh questions. Right now, we have someone on the phone here. It says they're anonymous. That's interesting. Hello, anonymous. Are you there?
Well, I'm not anonymous.
I'm sorry, you're Philip. I'm sorry. It said anonymous.
I missed you, sir, from your past days at WGN, and it's nice to hear you again.
Oh, thank you so much, Philip. I really appreciate that. I'm enjoying filling in when I get the opportunity, and it's great. I love this. I've always said that this studio, the Allstate studio here at WGN, is the best office in the city, and it's so great to just be behind this mic and in my favorite Star Trek chair, which not many of the personalities use anymore because they got these new ergonomic, is that the right word, chairs. But I like this really cool metallic Star Wars chair or Star Trek chair. But anyway, what do you want to talk about, Springsteen?
Seeing Bruce live in Chicago most of my life. Did live out on the East Coast for a couple years, so I'm at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Tunnel of Love Tour. Absolutely tremendous show.
The Tunnel Love Tour was great. The Tunnel Love Tour was great because, if you remember, he did Born to Run as an acoustic ballad, which was amazing.
Yeah, and he went through some, I don't know if there was a breakup going on at the time there with.
As the tour continued, his marriage broke up, and that's when he got caught on a Rome balcony with his now wife, Patti Scalfa. But the tabloids had some fun with that.
Well, I'm sure they did. But no, I've seen Bruce a number of times in Chicago. I saw him at the end of the River Tour. One of the last shows was at Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah, he did two shows. Yeah, two shows in September. If you remember, those shows were supposed to be in July, and then they postponed them. Oh,
that's correct.
I was out of my mind.
Yes, but we got to see the second to last show, Rosemont. We've also gone down to Indianapolis. Of course, you got the seats there at I think it's. Used to be Market Square Arena. It's a different place now.
Yeah.
And that was where those shows were postponed because Clarence had an eye problem.
Oh, really?
Well, they canceled a number of shows. Clarence, I don't, whatever it was. And so it was almost Christmas. So, of course, it was heavily a Christmas-oriented show.
Oh,
so
cool.
The December show. But what I have to talk about is bootlegs.
Yeah.
Live concerts, CDs, tapes. I probably have got about 200 of them.
Wow, yeah, I've got my share too. There's no doubt about it. You know, nowadays, of course, with people being able to record and video with their phones, the sound quality of bootlegs is so much better. And now, actually, Bruce Springsteen has actually done a good thing because, as you say, the bootleg market around his concerts, because there's such an event and they're, each one is so different, the bootleg market around Bruce has always been, he's been one of the most bootlegged artists. And so what he's doing now is he's actually offering soundboard recordings of all his concerts.
Yes, I've heard that. I haven't bought any of them, but no, the quality from what I've heard is, which they would be because he's the one that is putting them out.
Yeah, they're amazing. I've got the best bootleg is probably one from 1978 called Pièce de Résistance, if you have that one. And it's from the 1978 Darkness on the Edge of Town tour, and that's amazing.
The thing that propelled him, and I believe, the FM broadcast he had in 78, the Agora, I believe it's Agora in Cleveland.
Yeah, in fact, they made that one available on his website. You can get that soundboard quality of that show.
But he was smart enough to put, I don't know, maybe 10 shows from 78 over the radio. I think some were nationally broadcast, some were local. And that's
Smart
move.
Yeah,
thank
you, Philip. That 78 tour was really where Bruce Springsteen came into his own, because after Born to Run, which was a huge success, he got into a legal battle and he was not able to record for 2 or 3 years. And so he was kind of out of the picture for about till 1978 when he put out Darkness on the Edge of Town, and then he came back with a vengeance. And those 1978 concerts, I unfortunately was a little too young to see those, but boy, if you saw a 1978 concert for Bruce Springsteen, in fact, we've got somebody on the phone who was at a Bruce Springsteen show in 78. Is this Kacheri? Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi. Yes. Hi. This is. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. This is blowing me away because I hadn't thought of Bruce for a while, and the fact that what a great segue into 78. And you're going to be your 61st. This is the only time I saw him was 1978, and I'm a native of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And a friend of mine was like, oh, my God, I got these tickets. You have to come. And it was at Northwestern University.
Cool.
And I remember it was in the fall. It was, like, really bad weather. And it was and we had to take public transportation. I'm like, and I was 27 years old at the time, and I'm like, I want to go to taking public transportation.
You're right.
Bad weather to see a no-name.
No-name, right. Yeah, he wasn't that well-known.
Well, people have to remember, when you talk music or talk anything, the context of it, MTV didn't start till what, 81, 82? I mean,
yeah, it was not.
And
no.
Like what you were saying, a playlist and stuff like that. I mean, this was like, you know, who is this guy? What's his name? What?
Yeah, you're so right. You know, younger people, they it's hard to put things in context because we have so much access today, and every little thing is publicized. But, you know, not only was it, there's not a lot of information like you're saying, but you have to remember too, in 1978, rock and roll was still considered kind of a fad, a counterculture thing. It wasn't the lead on the you know, Walter Cronkite never did stories about Bruce Springsteen. You know, that was looked at as this kind of counterculture youth music. It's still going to go away sometime, we think. And it was never mainstream until, as you said, MTV really elevated music into a whole different sphere. And
right.
Before that, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, and here I'm thinking I'm doing a favor for my friend.
Yeah.
And we go.
And she did a favor for you.
Well, he actually, my friend Carl, wherever Carl may be now. And he, we went, and I will tell you, and I was older. Like, I was 27, and prior to that, I think the best concert I had ever seen was the Rolling Stones when I was 18 in 1969 in Chicago.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
That was like, really, right?
No kidding.
So I go in here going, I'm doing him a favor, right? Blown away.
Yeah.
Blown away. The energy he was, and fun. It was like, wow, he brought fun back to music and every, I just remember it being fun, almost joyous.
Well, that's what it is. And it still is today. As I said, there's a different kind of feel and a vibe because that raw energy of a 28 or 30-year-old guy certainly cannot be recaptured.
He's 2 years older than me. And here's my kicker, though. I never saw him again because life happens and all. And I'm like, you're going to your 61st. That's the only time I ever saw him. And I would consider myself a really big fan, but I've never seen him since. So
yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. Like the other caller that called before, if you have to see one show during one era, to see a 1978 Darkness on the Edge of Town show like you did, if you had to see one Bruce Springsteen show, you picked a really good one to see. That was a great era. And as I said, I was a little too young to go to concerts at that time. But when I hear the bootlegs from that, it was a great time. Thanks for sharing that story. Kacheri, interesting name. Another interesting name is Elton Jim Toronto, and that's me. I'm here at WGN 720. I'm filling in for Dean Richards. We'll be right back. Hey, no switching. Welcome back to the Elton Jim Toronto fill-in show here for Dean Richards today at WGN 720 AM. Celebrating the return of Bruce Springsteen here to Chicago tonight. It says 7:30 on the ticket, probably closer to 8. Well, the show will start the shows he's done in New Jersey this week are any indication. Don't expect to leave before midnight or even after. He did a show the other night in New Jersey that clocked in at 3 hours and 59 minutes. Almost 67 years old and playing with a great intensity and gusto. It's going to be a great show tonight. And we've been having some fun talking about your remembrances and memories about Bruce Springsteen, as well as any people going to the show tonight. Phone number is 312-981-7200. As I said, this will be, for me, show number 61. And if you walk by the, I played that song, that's a Springsteen song called Girls in Their Summer Clothes, because as I sit here, and as I said many times, the greatest office in the Chicago area, right on Michigan Avenue in the beautiful Allstate Showcase studio with the windows, I'm looking right here, and certainly I'm enjoying the girls in their summer clothes this morning and this afternoon. So, it's one of those days, as I said, I will be definitely circling on my calendar. Woke up this morning on the radio for 4 hours, and the day will end for 4 hours with Bruce Springsteen. Doesn't get much better than that. One guy whose life has been a little more even obsessed than mine has been with Bruce Springsteen is a guy named Christopher Phillips, who is the editor of one of the best fan magazines and best fan websites about a specific artist, in this case, Bruce Springsteen, called Backstreets. And I wanted to have him on to talk a little, Bruce. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to talk to you.
It is good to talk to you because almost 20 years ago now, I actually contributed a story to Backstreets when Bruce was inducted into the Hall of Fame in, 98?
It was 99, yeah. I was almost 18 years ago when you were our man in the field for that.
Yes, I was, and we never spoke. We did it all through email.
That's right. I forget how we met, but I do remember laying out that story and having your first-hand account of that, so that was cool.
Yeah, in fact, what was very cool about that, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but so I was at the I had a press pass to that. I think I just sent you an email and said, hey, I went to the thing. Do you want me to write a story? We didn't meet any. We've never met.
That's right.
But a cool little sidebar to that is, so I was in the press room, and they were keeping the press corralled in a separate room, not near in the Waldorf Astoria ballroom, where the actual event was taking place. Now they do it at the Barclay Center. But back then, it was very cool. It was in the intimate space of the ballroom at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And so I'm like, look, you know, Springsteen is on the other side of that wall. And I'm not staying in this room. So I snuck out of the press room and snuck onto the main floor of the ballroom. Because I wanted to see Bruce perform, not just through some simulcast on a screen. But I'm like, hey, he's over on the other side of this wall.
Well, I tell you, I had exactly the same experience when the E Street Band was inducted a couple years ago at the Barclays Center, except I couldn't sneak out.
Yeah.
Right. And the Barclays Center, I think, is a whole lot more like a labyrinth
than
Waldorf Astoria. So, yeah, I was stuck back in the press room watching it all on the screen, so I know that feeling.
Yeah, well, here's the best part. So I'm walking around, and I'm trying to, like, where am I going to, you know, stand or sit? Because everybody's got a table, you know.
Sure.
So as I'm walking around, first of all, I see Springsteen's mother sitting at a table, and I went up to her and I said hello, and she actually gave me a kiss, which was very cool. What a nice woman. I said, you know, there was an earlier thing about Bruce. I said, well, you know, he talked about, you know, his mother buying him that guitar, and I said, thank you so much for buying him that guitar way back when. And she said, well, he's done a lot with it himself.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm walking around, and they're right in the front. There's two tables empty. And I'm like, well, this is perfect. So I sort of stand, you know, by the table, and I'm right in front of them now for their performance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. So now it's done. And now when the performance is done, I understand and realize why those tables were empty. They were the E Street Band's tables.
You were a seat warmer for
I was a seat warmer for Roy Bittan, you know. And so the funny thing is, so now I'm standing there, and now they start, by 10 minutes later, the band starts coming back to their table because the event is continuing. And all of a sudden, Roy Bittan's, you know, so now I'm seeing where I'm at, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like in Disneyland here, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then Roy Bittan's wife says, boy, this guy's a fan. He knew all the words. And then I sort of just said, hi, guys, and got out of there. But so I can actually say that I've never sat in with the E Street Band, but I've sat in the E Street Band's seats.
That's right. Well, I hope they appreciated you saving their seats.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to ask you about Backstreets. Any Bruce Springsteen fan worth their salt has to visit Backstreets.com. on a daily basis, and it's just that simple. You've done an amazing job. This is a fan magazine and fan site. It started as a magazine, 30-some years ago now, right?
Yeah, back in 1980, like, you know, right at the beginning of the River Tour. So
yeah.
Here we are, you know, 36 years later. Our 36th anniversary is coming up this fall.
And you've been doing it, since about 93 or 94?
Yeah, exactly, 93. So I've been there for 23 of the 36 years. I started out in Seattle, where Backstreets began back in 1980, and worked with Charles Cross, who was the founder of it, for a few years, and then took it over. So, I've been doing it for 23 years, which is crazy.
Now, did you ever, once again, I my nickname, because I've been to 61 Springsteen concerts, but I've been to 164 Elton John concerts. So my nickname.
Oh, so that's why Elton Jim.
That's why I'm called Elton Jim, yeah. You know, and I actually wrote for an Elton John fan magazine, and I've actually been lucky enough to write. I've written about 8 of his official programs, so it's been pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I have to say, as cool as that has been from my standpoint, you have, in terms of a fan as well as a journalist and someone in the head of a fan magazine, you have still been to the mountain because you got the incredible opportunity. You have interviewed Bruce Springsteen.
It's true. I mean, first of all, I feel really lucky to get to do what I'm doing. I mean, I went to my first Springsteen show when I was 13, and it blew my mind. You know, like anybody who's been to a show has probably had a similar experience. I walked out of there just thinking, I've never seen anything like that. That just kind of changed my life. And as it turns out, you know, it did kind of change my life.
Look at that. No kidding. Yeah.
As an adult, you know.
Don't you find that it really, even though the albums, you know, people can certainly find Springsteen and like his music, but the real conversion comes after the concert.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's amazing that it's still happening. You know, when
I was
67 years old, I remember going to a couple shows with a friend of mine on the reunion tour. And now this was, you know, 17 years ago.
Right.
And that's when the E Street Band got back together in 99. And my friend was like, well, it's great to see him again. Those were great shows. And, you know, to me it means a lot to see the E Street Band back together again. But I can't imagine that they're going to be converting people anymore. And here we are, you know.
Oh, yeah.
15 years later, and yes, conversions are happening all the time.
Well,
it's still such an amazing show.
Yeah, I think what I've said in our discussion today and with some callers, too, is that there's no doubt that over the last, you know, my first show was in 1980. I was 16, so it's kind of cool to be back at the river.
Totally.
But what I find is, I mean, look, as you said, he's going to be 67 next month. He can't match the raw energy of a 30-year-old. I mean, let's be honest. He's got an amazing stamina and an amazing amount of energy, but he's still 67 years old. He's in great shape, but his body is still 66, 67 years old. But what I think why these shows and why he is continuing to convert people and still impressing even and still baffling those of us who have been to dozens of shows is that there is a new level of intensity and commitment in these shows, and certainly a sense of community with the audience that has really made the last several years some of his, which is amazing to say, since of these amazing shows he's done throughout his career. But I'll tell you that I saw two shows earlier on this leg in Chicago and in Milwaukee, and now that the band has been a little pared down to a closer original E Street Band type of setup without the orchestra that they had the last couple years.
Right.
I think that these shows are among the best he's ever done.
Well, that's the thing, and you're right about the intensity. I mean, in terms of what a 67-year-old body can do, you know, a lot of people have noted, okay, he's not doing knee slides anymore. He's
right.
Not jumping off the piano anymore. But those were always bells and whistles, right? Like, that's not why you went to a show.
Right,
you
exactly.
The intensity, the incredible music, the thoughtful way the show is put together, the way he's able to galvanize and energize a crowd, and those things haven't gone away.
No. And as I said, I mean, you know, you've seen what's interesting is that you said about conversions, that they're still happening. There's no doubt that the audience has grown older with him. But there are a lot of young faces in that crowd. In fact, in January, I took my 30-year-old godson, and I took him about 15 years ago when he was about 16 or 17 to a show in San Francisco. And you see young faces there, too. So it is amazing that that not only has he continued to perform at such a high level, but he continues to impress at such a high level.
That's right. I mean, you know, one of our reporters on this leg has been a kid. I say kid. I'm 45, so you know, is he 27? Is he 22? I kind of forget.
Yeah, right.
Steven. But this guy Steven Strauss, he's been pulled on stage a couple of times because Bruce has noticed him in the crowd. He's so enthusiastic, and he's going to just about every show, and he's writing about it either for us or for himself.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not alone. Like this is definitely a multi-generational audience.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but after that, we're talking with Christopher Phillips, who is the editor of Backstreets Magazine and website backstreets.com, which is all about Bruce Springsteen as we celebrate Bruce's return to Chicago tonight at the United Center. And what I wanted to talk about with Christopher, if we come back, is that in September next month, Bruce Springsteen will be putting out an autobiography. So I'd certainly like to get a little lowdown on that, because you actually are selling that at your website.
That's
and
right.
Also, if you've got any possible scoops about what we've heard about this mysterious new solo album that may be coming either at the end of this year or early in 2017. So, Christopher Phillips, hold on. We will talk to you right after this break. I'm Jim Tirano here at WGN 720 AM in Chicago, filling in for Dean Richards. Stay tuned. No switching. We're back here at WGN 720. I'm Jim Tirano with Christopher Phillips, the editor of Backstreets Magazine. I wanted to talk very quickly, Christopher. In late September, September 27th, Bruce Springsteen will be releasing his autobiography, aptly titled Born to Run. Have you seen it or heard about it? What's the scoop?
You know, I have not seen it yet. Apparently, it just rolled off the presses last week. There was a tweet that showed somebody flipping through it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I talked to a few people who've read it, and the buzz is very good. Like, what I'm hearing is that it's very revealing, very insightful, and I'm excited about it. I mean, there have been a lot of books written about Springsteen, but this is the first one from the horse's mouth. So.
And they did release the foreword to the book.
That's right.
Which was interesting. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I like this first line. It says, I come from a boardwalk town where almost everything is tinged with a bit of fraud. So am I. By 20, no race car driving rebel. I was a guitar player on the streets of Asbury Park and already a member in good standing amongst those who lie in service of the truth. So if that's any indication of what the tone and the truthfulness and the humor of this book, then I think we've got something to look forward to.
I really think so. And, I mean, you know, there are a lot of other things that sort of point to what we can expect. I mean, you know, we were just talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, and those have given us a glimpse of, you know, Springsteen writing about, because he wrote his own speeches, whether
right.
it's for inducting the E Street Band or for accepting his own induction. You know, those were very revealing and very funny and very entertaining, so we know he's good at that. And then there was also, I think this was kind of the germ of the Born to Run book, is that back when he played the Super Bowl 7 years ago, whatever that was, afterwards, he wrote a Super Bowl diary, which he published online, and then Tom Zimney, the filmmaker, kind of turned that into a little documentary with Bruce reading it. But that was sort of, you know, behind the scenes with Bruce at the Super Bowl, what it was like, because it was such a huge event, obviously.
Yeah.
And I, as I understand it, that was what sort of gave him the idea, you know, this was fun to write about. Maybe I should write about more of this stuff. And so for the past 7 years, that's what he's been doing.
And then there have been rumors, more than rumors. I mean, his manager, John Landau, has made it fairly public that there is a new album on the horizon, billed as a solo album, not an acoustic one, as other ones like The Ghost of Tom Joad or very sparse ones like Devils and Dust, but actually a solo album, but yet a full album with a full array of musicians.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't know too much about it, but, you know, the interesting thing is that we're all presuming that this is the same record that was ready a year ago, because this River Tour wasn't really supposed to happen. It wasn't planned that far in advance. Bruce had this solo record ready to go, and then the Riverbox set came out, and, you know, I think Springsteen saw how excited people were about it. It got him excited about it. He's like, well, wait a minute. Let's go tour for this. And so here we are, you know, nearly a year later, still touring for the Riverbox.
Did you see
album on hold.
Did you see any of the first two Jersey shows at all? Were you there for those? No?
No, I was not there for those.
Which ones are you going to go see? I assume you're going to see something on this lake.
Well, I was hoping to be there in Chicago for this one. I love
oh,
Chicago
really?
Shows. I mean, I was there for Wrigley Field during the downpour.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one.
Oh, yeah. I was there for Devils and Dust. I love Chicago shows. My wife is from there, so I was able to get.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, you know, obviously seeing Springsteen in New Jersey or seeing him in Philadelphia or seeing him on the East Coast is the place to see him. And obviously in Europe now, I guess Milan, Italy is the place to see him.
Sure, or Gothenburg, Sweden is another big.
Yeah, but he has always done, he does have a very strong and very loyal Chicago fan base here, and he does seem to put on a little extra for Chicago, and that's always fun.
I think so. And the other thing you guys have going for you tonight is it being an arena show. It's going to be a lot more intimate than most of these other stadiums.
Yeah, I'm not really big on the stadium shows, so I'm very excited about that. So give yourself a plug here for Backstreets and Backstreets.com.
Well, sure. You know, as we said, we've been, you know, tracking Bruce's career for the past 36 years. And we keep up to date with everything that's going on with him professionally, you know, whether it's tour reports after each show or whether it's the autobiography that's coming out soon.
The set list, I mean, it is. Believe me, you're bookmarked. You are my second or third daily check when I wake up in the morning on my computer.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I have been
behind Elton John, I assume.
yeah, exactly. Right. And you know, and the thing is that I have been a subscriber to Backstreets. I remember it used to sell in the one of my favorite local record stores called Rolling Stone here in Chicago, and they used to have it on the bookshelves, and that's where
sure.
I first bought it. And then I became a subscriber. Now you don't do the hard copy anymore, right?
Well, not as often. They're few and far between these days. I mean, you know, one of the things that we've struggled with for a while is, you know, sort of how to, you know, best serve the fans by getting the news out immediately versus what to do about print. So the
yeah.
print versus digital thing, you know.
Yeah. No, it's a digital. As soon as you put ink to paper, it's out of it's already outdated.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, these days we're keeping up with set lists and shows, and we send a photographer to every show, and we publish those online right away. So we always just hope that the immediacy of digital, helps people hang tight between the long gap between issues these days. But we're not giving up on print yet.
Well, great. Christopher Phillips from Backstreets and Backstreets Magazine, Backstreets.com. Thank you so much, and hopefully the highway is alive tonight, and hopefully I'll see you down the road somewhere.
Well, wear some comfortable shoes tonight. You know, you might have 4 hours.
I know.
Thanks for letting me be part of your little tailgate party.
Yes, thank you very much for joining me. That was Christopher Phillips from Backstreets. We're going to continue here. And it's Jim Toronto here on WGN AM 720. Filling in for Dean Richards, who's out gallivanting in L.A., but I'm sure that Dean will be back next week, and we'll be back here to talk to his very loyal group of listeners, and I am certainly honored that Dean would trust me with this with his show, his sacred 4 hours, as I said, as well as his audience. And of course, like every nervous babysitter, Dean called in at the top of the show just to make sure that everything was fine and that I don't order a pizza or I don't hang up on the hang on the phone all night and invite my boyfriend over. Anyway, so I talked to you before. I'm in my early 50s. That's how we say it now when you hit a certain age. And I don't know about you, if you're even over 40, who knows? But, all the time now we hear about millennials do this and millennials do that and millennials do this. And so I'm lucky enough to actually know a millennial. Not only do I know one, I found one and I brought one in here and we've got him captive. But, it's my godson, Patrick. And if you've heard me on the radio at all, you've heard me mention Patrick. And as I said, I use him as what I call my millennial meter, because I like to find out if I'm still, in the scene with the youngsters. I don't know if I am anymore. And so, am I still in with the in crowd? I don't know. So this is the millennial meter. Welcome to the show, Patrick Minogue.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
All right. So, Patrick, I have known literally since the first day he was, for the first
minute?
10 hours, not minute.
Okay.
No, your dad called me on the phone because you were born very early in the morning. But he did call me, and I always remember that phone call. He's like, the phone rang at like 2 a.m, and I, and we knew that your mom was in the hospital, and so the phone rang, and you're like, this has got to be it. And sure enough, your dad didn't even say hi. I just pick up the phone, and I go, hello, and he goes, it's a boy.
It's a boy.
And I could just hear his voice. He was just, there was just a joy in his voice. And he's like, Turs, that's his nickname for me, Toronto Turs. Turs, it's a boy. And it's like, wow, okay. And 30 years later, here we are.
Yep.
Sitting across from one another on WGN. Who would have thought that?
It's amazing.
So, like I said, I use Patrick as my sounding board. You are 30 years old, almost 31.
30, yep, I'll be 31 here coming up in September.
But you are still in with the in crowd.
Yep.
I mean, you're a millennial.
Sure.
You're in the sweet spot.
I'm in the sweet spot of the millennial group.
And as I said, every time I see Patrick, he has various levels of facial hair.
Right.
Sometime it'll be stubble. Sometime it'll be nothing.
Today's pretty thick.
Yeah, today. Yeah. Now, today looks like quasi-beard.
Right.
It's not a beard yet, but it is. You do have it trimmed.
Slightly trimmed,
Trimmed.
Keep it trim.
But it's not a beard yet. And so it's always different then. Now, take off your hat. Because people can see us on the video, actually.
Yeah.
So now, sometimes your hair on the side is shaved.
It's pretty short now.
Pretty short. Yeah. For your wedding, it was like that. It was kind of longer on the top.
It's the low fade, is what it's called.
Oh, the low fade.
Low fade, yeah.
So when you go to the
barber,
you say, give me a low fade.
I want the low fade. Uh-huh. And they know that, yeah.
I've had a low fade, but it had nothing to do with a haircut. But anyway, and then, of course, on his arm, he's got ink.
Yep.
I mean, he's got more than ink.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, you look like a Bic ink factory.
Right.
It makes big pens.
It's a piece.
Yeah. It's, right. You have a piece.
Right.
It's not a tattoo.
No.
Yeah. So this is
don't use tat. It's not a tat. It's
not
a piece.
It's a piece.
Right.
Yeah. Before, like I said, in my generation, if you had a piece, you had a toupee.
Right.
Now it's a piece. It's because it's a work of art, I suppose.
Artwork.
Yeah.
Right.
And what else? You're wearing you got shorts on?
I got my shorts on.
Are they cargos?
No, those are gone.
Oh, so millennial meter, no cargos.
Definitely not.
No.
Cargos. You got mid-thigh shorts for the summer.
Wow.
Yeah, show a little thigh, Jim.
So, yeah, I mean, so there's no doubt. As like I said, I love Patrick with all my heart. And at the same time, I hate everything he stands for.
Right. It's love-hate.
No, but I mean, as I've said to you before, because I'm in the middle here. I'm considered a baby boomer. I'm born in 64, but I'm not a baby boomer. A baby boomer was born during World War II. So I feel like I'm a lost generation because I don't really feel like the next year, if I was born in 65, I would have been Generation X, but I don't feel a part of that either. So I'm here to try to find a space because I don't really know where else to be, you know, because I don't really fit anywhere.
You need a safe space.
Yeah. So Patrick helps in sort of giving me some pointers. Now, it was funny. I said how I throw things at you to say, okay, now what about this? Right. Is this cool? Like right. We've learned now that you don't wear cargo shorts.
Right. Yeah, check the box. No cargo.
So, you know, for about 2 years, I actually had to dye my hair back to my normal color because I was doing a play. But I had blonde hair. When I turned 50, I didn't have a mistress and I didn't have a convertible. So right. I dyed my hair.
Blonde hair, don't care.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't care.
No, right.
Because most people, I sense, didn't like it. Because most people didn't say anything positive or negative about it. So okay. I sense that the fact that they said nothing
silence.
About it. Silence to me said more than not.
Okay.
You know. And some people came right out and said, boy, I really don't like that. Oh, okay.
All right.
So, yeah. There's definitely. So somebody said, so on the millennial meter, did your millennial godson approve the blonde hair?
Yeah.
So I never asked you. So what did you think of it?
So I'm just so used to, you know, your normal hair color. So I would say at first I was shocked. just because shocked. I'm just so used to,
right.
You know, but I liked it.
Did and you?
I did.
Because I was a little, to be honest with you, now, one of the great things that Patrick did for me, and which is very millennial.
Right. Very millennial.
Patrick and his wife, Thea, asked me to officiate their wedding,
yep.
Which is very millennial
right.
of you.
Yep.
You know, and so I had the blonde hair for that.
You did.
And I didn't know if because, you know, with the pictures and everything, I was like, well, if they don't like my blonde hair, are they going to be mad that I've got this blonde hair at their wedding?
No.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Of course, they were able to completely deal with that potential problem. Because what they did, which was a cool idea, they put a GoPro camera
right on the podium.
On my podium
right.
where I was doing the the speech
doing
and then officiating
mm-hmm.
and then they were right in front of me. So it was right. And then obviously the congregation, everybody right. there was behind you.
Yep.
So it was a really interesting, you know, viewpoint
yeah.
of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Except everybody's on the video. But who?
Except for you.
Me.
Right.
Because I'm behind the podium where the GoPro is. So everybody else is in the wedding video
right.
except me.
Right.
So I actually do think that you didn't like my blonde hair.
And the GoPro
and
was strategic.
And the GoPro was like, oh yeah, Jim, don't worry. We're just going to put this here because we think it's going to be really cool looking.
Right.
It was basically because they didn't want my blonde hair on their wedding video. And I understand
no.
that now.
No, we should have had it, like the GoPro, like on your like headset or like in a necklace right. or something. That would have been great.
So here's what I want to find out. I need to know. I've as I said before, I'm a guy that really doesn't go with the trends. But, you know, today it's hard not to just be inundated every day in the newspaper
mm-hmm.
by a story
right.
about millennials do this and millennials do that.
Yeah.
And mostly I find out what you guys do is basically the same thing I did, only you rebrand it and make it your own.
Sure.
So it's basically you're listening to my music, you're listening to my vinyl, and you're making it sound like, have you ever heard of a record? This is the greatest.
So cool.
This is so cool. What an experience. You put it, I'm like, okay, I got about 1,000 in my bins downstairs if you want one.
Right.
And now it's so cool to have vinyl.
You haven't heard it unless you listen around.
Yeah, I have pieces of vinyl.
Sounds different.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Give me a break. All right. So here's what I was saying.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to find out is, and we talked about this one time before. So I've always had facial hair. And I've had a goatee for like 20 years. But now, and I grew a beard, as I've said many times before. I was one of these guys that had facial hair when I was in like seventh grade. Okay, I was one of those Cro-Magnon guys that you see walking around.
Sure.
And so, early bloomer. So I grew a beard freshman year, over Christmas vacation. I grew a full beard in 2 weeks. So I've always had facial hair of one kind or the other, and I always liked a beard. But now it's so cool.
It's very on trend.
What is it?
On trend.
On trend.
Yeah.
There's another word. I love it. On trend.
Yeah, on trend.
See, this is why he's here, folks.
Yeah.
It's very on trend. Oh, God. So it's very on trend, but everyone has it. And you know what? It's fine. In my view, it's cool when someone like you in your age group or younger is trying to be on trend, because that's important. But when I see people older or my age, it looks like they're trying
a
try-hard.
Try-hard, yeah.
Is that another one?
Another term.
Okay.
I'll have a few of these.
Yeah, okay. So now I'm questioning. So I have two questions. A, is a beard on an older guy cool or a try-hard?
I think it's cool. I think, I think if you do it the right way, it's cool. Because, like you said, I don't want any dyeing of it. Just let it go natural. Trim it. But, no, don't dye the beard. Just let it be.
Right.
Let the beard be.
Let it be.
Yeah.
But it should be trimmed.
Yeah, trimmed. You want to be slightly kept.
I mean, you've never had like the bad kind of outdoorsy beard.
In the winter I'll stray.
Really?
Kind of a gnarly.
Yeah, see, I've never had that. Whenever I have a beard, because I love to do the line under the chin,
the neckline.
It's so fun just to make that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you say a beard would be okay for an older guy.
Yeah, I think so.
But you should also not dye it.
Don't dye it.
Because I do dye my goatee.
Right.
But I know that my beard, because my goatee is completely gray, so I assume even if I don't, shave for a couple of days,
right.
I could see that there's gray.
Is it like a speckled?
Well, I don't know yet, because I've never gone more than 2 or 3 days, maybe a weekend, and I'll shave.
Yeah.
So I'm debating now, but you're saying that the gray beard is okay.
Yeah, I think so.
That would still be on 100%. Trend.
Yes, on trend.
All right.
Yeah, I think it kind of gives you a nice refined look.
All right. But at the same time, then stop dyeing the goatee.
Right. Let it all be.
See, the only reason I dye the goatee is because it's so gray that I don't know if you'll see it.
Okay. Well,
so
then you got maybe let it grow a little bit longer. Maybe.
Oh.
I don't know. Right. But I do like, I think the trimming is key. The grooming, you want to be well groomed. You don't want to, because then it's like, okay, you're trying way too hard. You have a desk job and you're just letting it grow like you're in the woods. Just.
Now, I have to ask you a question, because obviously your generation is filled with, social media is part of your life.
Yep.
Why is it when I go on a millennials, because I've never done this, and once again, now I don't know if I'm being weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I do take a picture of myself and I do put it on Facebook, and maybe I'm out with my friends, I do not take a picture of my food.
Right.
Or I do not take a picture of myself holding a beer bottle so that it's obvious that A, I'm drinking, and B, I'm drinking something specific.
Cool.
Yeah.
Labels
so
out.
So that seems to me that you have to be photographed with your alcohol, and it has to be prominent.
Right.
Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, so
is that on trend?
I would say no. I would say
oh, really?
Yeah, I would, because there's people that would be a tryhard. I think. Yeah, I think if you're doing that all the time, and if you have a foodie blog or something, I get it. If you're posting, your food every day, but
exactly.
Mix in, you gotta have some variation. You can't do food, just because you're out to eat. No one cares. So
well, here's another thing that I have to jump. I'm glad you mentioned this because so I'm watching. I like to watch a lot of the Food Network.
Sure. Yep.
Check Please locally, all these shows. My wife and I have always gone to nice restaurants and a lot of restaurants, and not even just in the city, but whenever we go on vacation, we go to nice restaurants.
Yeah, when we went to New York, same thing. You took me to the great restaurants.
So we've gone to all these restaurants for many, many, many years, and we never had a title.
Right.
Why do you now, if you go to a restaurant, why are you a foodie?
Foodie. Yeah. I get, you know, going back to it, Jim, I think you're just, you've been on trend, and everybody is just coming in and out. You've been doing those things on trend for
I know, but
forever.
I never had to brand myself. Right. Everybody needs a title.
I think some of it is like, you know, if it's like if you give yourself a nickname, it's kind of weird, right?
Right.
But if people talk about you and then you get a nickname, like if it's almost like the people, you know, writing stories and where are the foodies going, it's kind of was kind of given to them. A
right.
name just for people that like to go out to eat and, right. you know, so if you call yourself a foodie, it's strange.
That's
like,
what I think.
Yeah.
I think it is strange.
I'm a foodie. Like,
that,
no,
yeah, no.
Stop.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So that's on trend.
Yeah.
All right.
Calling yourself not a foodie is
okay. I'm learning something here.
Yeah.
It's Elton Jim Toronto here filling in for Dean Richards. I've got Patrick Minogue. My godson is my millennial meter, and he's letting me know what is cool and what is not according to a millennial. And we'll take a quick break, and I'm going to find out just how uncool I am right after this. And about... 7.5 hours. I'm going to let my ramrod rock at the United Center, seeing Bruce Springsteen. But right now, we're talking to my millennial meter, if you will, Patrick Minogue, my godson, who I like to throw some lifestyle questions against because, yeah. as I said, he is a millennial in every sense of the word. And I have to ask you about now, what's the cool thing about, because I just got a car.
Okay.
And
that's right, yeah.
And I like my car a lot, but I'm wondering what's like the cool hipster car now.
Ooh, that's a good question. I have an affinity towards late 90s luxury SUVs. I get real specific here.
Wow.
Like,
that's so on
like
trend.
The 95
luxury.
Range Rover. It's perfect. It's on trend. I want it. I don't think my wife will let me get one anytime
right.
soon, but yeah.
Oh, that's
so it's kind
why?
Of a throwback.
Why?
I don't know. I just think there's something
so here's
to the design there.
But this is interesting.
Yeah.
So here you are saying mid-90s
luxury SUV.
So as I said before, vinyl now is, you know they've yeah. discovered it, and now it's pieces of vinyl, and it's cool.
Right.
Tattoos have been around since the cavemen days.
Yeah.
They literally were drawing on caves
right.
and on their skin,
mm-hmm.
but now they're pieces.
It's a piece, yeah.
So you guys seem to basically take everything that's already existed
yeah.
and rebrand it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, but hasn't it been happening for, bell-bottoms come back in, and they
yeah,
were
but
out.
Yeah, but they were called bell-bottoms.
Right.
See, you guys will say, you know, these are
flared.
Flared. You'll
right.
call them something different.
Okay.
You know, as I said before, we went on a boat with Patrick and his family. We had a great time, and Patrick's playing some music, and he goes, "Oh, here I've got some, on my Spotify, I've got something called Yacht Rock." And I was like, "Yacht Rock? What is that?" And he goes, "Oh, it's a kind of music." So I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna use my millennial meter here.
Yeah.
Let me listen to Yacht Rock." It was all 70s soft rock that I grew up with.
Right, the best.
And I said, well, wait a minute. This is Ambrosia, America, you know,
Michael McDonald.
I got all those albums. When did this become Yacht Rock?
Right.
It became Yacht Rock to you. To me, it's been around for 40 years. But you
right.
guys say, well, you know, we can't just, you know, use that.
Right.
We got to make this ours and make it cool again.
Or borrowing it.
Yeah, so that's, you know, well, you're like adopting it, rebranding
mm-hmm.
it, and adopting it.
Right.
So what other thing that I grew up on in love are you going to steal from me?
What's next?
Yeah, what do you see the next on trend?
Well, you're seeing all the movies, too, right? Like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, and yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I think we're just kind of searching for something to call our own, and there's just so much influence. And I guess, like, with social media, just like what's on trend is dictated by such a small group of people, you know, because you're looking at these influencers online and what are they doing. And I think it's just kind of this exploration constantly of what's next. And it happens to be there's not a whole lot out there. So you're going back in the archives, you know.
All right. So far what I'm going to – so walking away from the millennial meter this week, I can walk away with knowing that it's okay for me to buy a beer – to grow a beer.
Yep.
If I want to buy a car, I should buy a mid – 90s luxury SUV.
Range Rover or even a Wagoneer. The Jeep Wagoneer.
Oh,
those
Wagoneer.
Wood paneling on there.
Oh,
those are like,
really?
Oh, yeah, those are really cool. Getting redone. mm-hmm. Remod. So they have some modern.
I don't want to be, what was it, if I tried to, a try hard. A try harder. I'd rather be on
trend.
On trend.
Yeah.
And if I do take a picture, with my beer bottle.
Right.
I should make the beer bottle prominent.
I would say don't do that.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I would say mix it in maybe once in a while. You know, like if you're posting 5 posts a week, like 1 post a week about your food.
Right.
That's it.
All right. Very good. Well, I'm feeling good about myself as I'm not as far out of the scene. Except for the mid-90s luxury.
Yeah, I might be an oddity on that one. I don't know if everyone's going to agree with me there. But
well, I want to thank Patrick Minogue, my godson, for being my millennial meter. And thank you for telling me what is cool. Because, I mean, you're a legitimate millennial.
Yeah, older millennial, yeah. Just on the – so 35 is the ceiling, I think.
So you're still legit.
Right in there.
You're still legit.
Mm-hmm. I'm right in there.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, thank you. Well, and I'm not going to shave.
Yeah.
I shaved this morning. I'm done.
Awesome. I love
it. There we go. And I'm not going to use Just for Men.
No, yeah. No Just
for Men. I'm letting it free.
Natural.
Natural. Very good. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the show here at WGN, 7:20 a.m. in Chicago. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning. We're here until about 1 o'clock. We're going to do the food segment now that Dean does every week. Food segment is sponsored by Greek Island Restaurants. And on today's segment, I wanted to talk to someone who's a producer here at WGN. He produces my podcast every Monday. So tomorrow there will be a new episode. I've done about, 15 now. It's on WGNplus.com. And it's called Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And if you're an Elton John fan, you'll understand the reference. If not, look it up. So Mike Heidemann is my producer, and he really does a great job. He's a really nice guy. And we were just talking about restaurants a couple weeks ago. He said, so what are you doing this weekend? And I said, oh, I don't know. And he said, oh, I'm going to this place called Au Cheval, which is this great restaurant where they have the best cheeseburgers, and he was just raving about this place. And so I thought it would be good to have him on because it's on 800 West Randolph in the West Loop, which is not far from the United Center. So if you're going to the Bruce Springsteen concert tonight, it might be a stop you make, or just keep it in mind. As I said, I've been doing a little semi-Bruce Springsteen tribute here, as Bruce does play the United Center tonight as he comes back for his River Tour. But Mike Heidemann, welcome to the show.
Jim, great to be on the show. Thanks for having me. These burgers are fantastic. I stand by it 100%, and there's nothing more on trend you can do than eat at Au Cheval.
Oh, so not only is it cool, it's millennial cool.
It's millennial cool. Your hipster points will go up by tenfold once you hit the spot up.
Now, Mike, if you don't mind me asking, because I know it's not, how old are you?
I'm 30 years old, so right at that cusp.
Yeah, so you're like my godson. You're right in the sweet spot. So not only does it have great food, and I looked it up, Bon Appetit said it's the best cheeseburger in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. It, not only is it the best burger in Chicago, there's many outlets that are saying it's the best burger in America.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, best burger in America. Yeah, right. Best burger in America. Now tell me, because you said this was interesting, so... First of all, it's got to be good because you said, what is the wait to get in this place?
I've been there 4 times, and every time I've been told 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours?
Yeah.
So what do you do for 3 hours? Where do you go home, or what do you do?
Well, you crave in your hunger, and then you walk around with your stomach a little bit growly. But the best part about this place is, since the West Loop is so up and coming, there's a lot of stuff to do. You can go shopping. You can get a drink at, like, the Lone Wolf, or I think the Little Goat is right next to it as well. So there's a lot of stuff to do to bide your time when you're waiting for 2 hours. And Au Cheval, in a true millennial fashion, has an app now where you can see how long it's going to take you. So you can see 50 people go in front of you before you get to chomp into that burger.
So do they give you the little sparkly thing that lights up when you're if you're walking around the street, how do you know when your reservation or when your name is finally called?
You're just waiting and hoping by a wing and a prayer because
really?
My friend and I, we would check the app. So the app is key. But most of the time, you just, you know, head back, or there's a lot of people just wait around the front of the store and then just come back and just keep checking.
So, I mean, but I have a flip phone. So so I can't check the app. So now what do? Do I have to just bring a lawn chair and hang out on Randolph for 3 hours?
Yeah, just put out your beach towel. Yeah. You'll be, like, in no time, Jim.
Well, that must be a hell of a good cheeseburger if you're waiting. I mean, 2 hours is bad. 3 hours is unbelievable, and yet you wait for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people who call this burger, you know, it's great comfort food. It's earth-shatteringly good, creative. But my favorite description was an umami punch to your very existence. So if you're going to wait for a burger, this is the one to wait for sure.
Well, it's certainly in the trendy West Loop area right there, like you said, on Randolph. Now, my other question, someone texted me, I believe it was Margaret, her name was, or she sent me an email. Do you know that cheval in French means horse?
I did not know that.
Yeah, maybe their marketing department might need to rethink that, but it obviously hasn't hurt them. But now what I went online to look at the place and also to look at the menu. I was very impressed. Now, what's the story here? A single is a single, but a double is a triple?
Oh, hold on to your seat, Jim. Yeah, the single is a double, and the double is a triple. So you're going in there, you're thinking, I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to enjoy a nice fancy burger. It's going to be great. Maybe get a little egg on top or some bacon. By the time you order the egg, the bacon, and the double cheeseburger, you have maybe 5 or 6 patties of just like pure meat. It's piled high to the sky. So you are going to definitely leave full and very, very satisfied with the way you order this food.
So a normal burger then is a double cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
but then a double is 3.
Yes.
Why isn't a double 4?
That's just the mystery of all cheval. The place sells around 400 single patties and double patties cheeseburgers each weekday and 500 on the weekend. So, I mean, there is no waiting for these burgers. Like, they're fine with shoving as many patties as they want on them.
Are they vegan friendly? Are they vegetarian friendly?
So they do have gluten-free options as well as some other great choices if your stomach is a little bit sensitive. Yeah, good, so I'd say they do. They
good have, sides, too. I saw that they make their own pickles.
Yeah, they make their own pickles. They have this great aioli sauce that you can put on the fries. They have a lot of fantastic options. I heard that the bologna sandwich actually is really good there, so
oh,
I might
nice.
Want to try that one.
A bologna sandwich. A bologna sandwich is great with ketchup on it. You got to get fried bologna with ketchup on it. You can't beat a fried bologna sandwich. Now, I was wondering, what was kind of that sauce you said they had?
Oh, it's this great, like, white aioli sauce that they put with these fries. And we didn't go into the fries yet. So you order the cheeseburger. They give you these fries that taste exactly like Lay's potato chips, crispy, salty, and then you dip them in this sauce, and it's out of this world, Jim. It's out of this world.
What notes are in that sauce? Are there some
notes.
Flavorful notes that you, being a foodie, obviously you would know as you on trend?
It's very on trend. It's a garlic aioli, so it's a little garlic.
So there's notes of garlic. Do you know what our base? Know what our base is in our aioli?
I'm gonna say delicious heavenly juice.
I'm just having fun with it. So, because I mean, and now once again, what I love about watching these shows is everybody now talks like this. You know, on these food shows. I love the notes. I love the splash of this and the heightened of that. And, you know, it's like, when did, you know, we used to just go to a restaurant and eat and leave. Now there has to be reviews and photos and notes and everybody's, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, people joked. I bought, because I thought they were really comfortable and really cool looking. I bought, you know, those little chef shirt, those shirts that the chefs wear.
Like,
I would watch those shows. I'm like, that's a cool look. So I bought a couple of those. And when I was on here every day at WGN, I would wear it and people would make fun of me. Oh, what are you, Chef Jim? And I'm like, no, these are comfortable. And they're cool looking.
So much like Mark Zuckerberg with his like lines of just gray shirts and his
yeah.
You have just lines of chef shirts.
I have a black and a white chef shirt, and I was I wore them several times, and then I sort of got ridiculed, and so I stopped. But I thought that those were very on trend.
Oh yeah, I mean you got to roll with your own kind of wave. So I think that they'd be on trend. Do you still wear them?
I still have them. I should bring them out.
Maybe your wait time is going to be a little bit shorter because you're going to volunteer the chef.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I remember seeing an episode of Check Please on Channel 11, you know, the show about all the restaurants that mm-hmm. civilians, as you know, they say, you know, actually go out and go to a restaurant, not like mm-hmm. the professional foodies. And I remember Al Cheval was on there about 2 years ago, and I remember the was just rave reviews about them. So clearly, they have stepped up their game and made what, as I said, Bon Appetit considers the best burger in America. And obviously, Mike Heidemann, you think it is certainly worth a 2-hour wait.
I would put money down anytime I have anybody out of town. I tell them you need to go to Au Cheval. If I have a friend that I'm trying to impress, or if I'm on a date, it's like we're hitting up this burger spot. And we're going to have, like, the best burger of your life. And I don't feel bad about overselling it because it's usually right on point.
Well, the cool thing, too, is I went on the menu and I saw, of course, you know, every restaurant now has to have a very cool and hipster and on-trend, liquor and drink offering.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a drink, which I don't even know if I'd like it, but I'd have to order it. It's called the Boo Radley from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
The Boo mm-hmm. Radley. And they also have the Hemingway Daiquiri. So they're certainly trying to be very pretentious, which, of course, is the way you millennials like to roll.
We do, yeah.
Yes.
Anything we can do to just make ourselves a little bit better than the next guy.
Well, at least you're willing to admit it. My godson and you, at least, you know what? As I said, I love my godson. I like you. You're a great guy. I hate everything you stand for. But at least you're honest. You think you're better, and you go out and prove it. We all know you're not, but at least you think you do, and I give you credit for having the guts to say it.
Absolutely. But, you know, on that point, let me do make a quick mention that you can, if you want to go and just, you know, be square about it and you want to just get your burger and get a nice tall boy, they have the handsome tall boy for $3. So you can get, you know, just a PBR or a Miller High Life right in the door. And then when you order your burger, you don't even need to say what kind of, medium well, or I want this or this. You just say, I want the double cheeseburger with a fried egg and bacon, and they just bring it to you. No questions asked, easy peasy, and that's what I like about this place.
Okay, I got to stop you. Two things. A, easy peasy, don't like it. B, you just did it again. When I was a little kid, there was a beer called Pabst Blue Ribbon. It wasn't peanut butter and relish or whatever PBR stands for. Once again, you guys had to steal my beer and rebrand it as PBR. You couldn't just go with Pabst Blue Ribbon because that was mine. You guys had to give it a new name and make it all cool. Get off my lawn!
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, I kind of see it as you as, like, the original hipster because you brought it in to the coolness. And then we just needed to, like, you know, just spice it up a little bit, much like the Au Cheval burger.
There you go. Oh, nice tie in there. That's why you work at WGN. Well, for our segment here, I want to thank Mike Heidemann for giving us – I mean, you've made my mouth water. I really want to go to this place and get – I love a good – I mean, I always have loved – hamburgers and cheeseburgers, I love. Just probably my favorite. When I was a little kid, that's what my mom used to make. In fact, I used to eat cheeseburgers so often, my mom, you know, she was a forerunner. She used to make them in different shapes for me because she said, you're going to get bored with just round hamburgers. So she used to make square hamburgers and rectangles and triangles. I never knew what shape my hamburger was going to be.
One way to do it.
Well, Au Cheval, that's at 800 on West Randolph in the West Loop. The phone number is 312-929-4580, and based on Mike's review, it is what I like to call a PTB, the place to be.
That's right. That's right. Have a great time at the show tonight. Make sure you check out that place, and I'll see you at Captain Podtastic.
Yes, you will. Mike is my much more than able producer every week for the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, which does post every Monday on WGNplus.com. Thank you so much for joining me today in the food segment there, Mike.
Thank you, Jim. Great to talk to you.
Great. I'm Elton Jim Toronto here at WGN. We're pulling into the dock. Just about to throw anchor, or my godson Patrick is still here. What does your dad call an anchor? Henry or something?
Oh, drop Hank.
Oh, Hank.
Hank. I forgot. Hey, Pat, why don't you go drop Hank?
I thought he was going to do something a lot worse than that.
It sounds.
I was like, is there any toilet paper on this thing? He's going to drop Hank.
Yeah, it sounds worse than it is.
Wow. Okay, well, so we're going to drop Hank in about 10 minutes, so please hang around.